Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see you walking up, always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep on walking up. Walking shoes, hey. I tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime. In the night to see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long, and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times are happy times, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said if I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up, yeah. Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep it walking on. Walking shoes, walking shoes. Step two, step two, step three. Step one, step two, step three.
Walking shoes.
I was the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walking shoes, walking shoes.
Walking towards the promise. Walking towards better land. Said I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up.
To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Yahweh, hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the mighty one of Yaakov defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt offering or thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation and in the name of our mighty one. We will set up our banners. Yahweh, fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that Yahweh saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of Yahweh, our mighty one. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save Yahweh. that the King hear us when we call. Abba Yah, thank you for life, for health, and for strength. Father, we thank you for the healing that you have provided throughout the members of our congregation that have been sick. And we thank you, Father, for your mercies and your loving kindness. We ask you, Father, to continue to hedge us up, to keep us within the covering of your wings, Father. And Father, if any troubles come, that we run to you, our strong tower. Father, look after all of us with mercy. Father, look after those who are sick. Naomi is in the hospital once again, Abba Yah, which I know you already know. We just ask, Father, that you continue to hover over her, that you lead and guide the medical team that you have sent, Father, to intervene. And Father, we just ask that anybody who is out there, who is suffering, who is ailing, whether physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, Father, that they put forth the petition, Father, onto your altar, Father, onto the precious heart of your Son, Yahushua, Father, and ask that it be lifted up to thy throne, Father, to thy footstool, Father, for answering, Father. We know that you are a faithful, mighty one who delivers, who heals, who protects, who safeguards, and who fights on behalf of your children, on behalf of your anointed, on behalf of your people. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of thy Son, Yahushua. Amen. Baruch atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, amen, amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Once again, it's your brother Ahab All, Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, USA. And this is Kol Elohim. And this is the third installment of Study to Show Yourself Approved Unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And today's lesson, the topic of today's lesson, family, is again to the Israel of Yah. We have a faithful Elohim. And Deuteronomy 7:9 reads, "Know therefore that Yahweh your Elohim himself is Elohim, the faithful El who keeps covenant and loving kindness with them who love him and keep his commandments through 1,000 generations." And family, it's a little rough right now. You know, again, you know, my daughter's in the hospital and I've been struggling with it for the last few days. There's nothing worse, no worse pain than to know that a loved one, and in particular your child, is suffering. And there's very little that you have the power to do about it other than to solicit and petition prayers, sincere prayers from those who know and love your child, and just accepting the fact that there isn't much that you can do other than pray and give the support that you can and hope that that Yahweh hears your petition. And one of the things that I am comforted in, because of where I work, I'm not the only one who is experiencing pain regarding a loved one. You know, my brother and I, Ariel, you know, we kind of work together. And we've been experiencing some things together. And, you know, we get to see, you know, firsthand what people, the pain that people go through every day in their life. So, you know, you're not alone. You know, your suffering may be your own. The pain that you're experiencing may be your own, but you realize that there are countless others who, when you work in healthcare and in the medical field, that experience similar, if not at sometimes the same exact thing that you go through, the emotional the mental, the spiritual, physical anguish. I came across a lady while we were standing there briefing, and she came up and she asked where the chapel was, and she asked for directions to the chapel, rather. And as opposed to providing directions, say, make a left here, make a right here, you see it on the right-hand side, down the hall, blah, 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 just, you know, just walk with her. And, you know, you recognize that walk when you've walked that walk, when somebody is barely has the strength to move their legs left and right. And not because they're physically incapable to move, but because whatever's on your heart, whatever's in your mind, whatever's on your soul at that point is so heavy that you, every step is a labor. She labored down that hallway. And at one point, you know, she grabbed my arm because she needed some strength. Now, I didn't know this lady, never met her before. You know, she just came across us and just asked for some help, which is not unusual. That happens all the time. But as, you know, we opened the door to the chapel and she asked for the private room, brought her into the private room. She fell over on top of me and let it all out. How I'm a complete stranger to this lady. And it's not about me. It's just about the situation. So bear with me. And she just let out all her grief. That's how grieved she was. I mean, she just bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled. And just something. And I never felt compelled to do this with a complete stranger before. But I prayed for the lady because I felt her pain. I'm living her pain. I felt her sorrow. I'm living her sorrow. And all I could do is hold her and cry with her and cry out to Yahweh and just ask for her to be comforted the way right now I would like to be comforted. And she asked for a chaplain, so went and found a chaplain. And was concerned about her. Hadn't seen her since the incident, and ran across her, and you know, she recognized me, recognized her, and you know, not knowing me, and I don't know her, not knowing anything other than that experience we had together. She said, "Please, when you have a chance, please stop up to the room and just visit," because she said that she felt comforted. And, you know, we don't know times what others may be going through. And we don't know why people, Yahweh brings people into our circle. But one of the things that Abba helped me to realize in that situation, that one, grief and pain doesn't know race, color, creed, ethnic background. Grief just and heartache just knows grief and heartache. And when you are in such a place where you are hurting to the point where you don't care who is available, you just want somebody to be available so that you can feel some comfort. When your heart is heavy and when your soul feels like it's being broken and your body feels heavy to that point, it doesn't matter. You have no choice but to do, as my brother says, get naked. Not in the physical sense, but in a metaphorical sense, I don't know, in a figurative sense. You know, My Kaveri called me right afterwards, couldn't really talk at the time, after soliciting a prayer from my brothers. But I did talk to him, you know, the next day, and my brother opened up and, you know, shared with me some things that he had been going through with his loved one. And he said he never shared it, but he decided to share it with me because he knew at that time, as my cover often does, he can sense and he can feel the pain. I guess that's why we're covers. And when he shared with me, you know, I had no idea, you know, that he had experienced what he was going through with his grandbaby. And, you know, to hear him share the pain that he experienced and then to share the triumph that ensued afterwards, it gave me strength. It gave me encouragement in light of my situation. Not sure if many of you know, my daughter, my middle child, needs a heart. In order for her to receive this heart, someone's child has to expire. And it hurts me to know that that is the circumstance, not just that my child is in the circumstances that she is in, but that someone else's loved one, someone else's child will ultimately have to expire in order for my child to have what she has personally shared with me, just an opportunity to see her child get to a certain point in life where she doesn't need her there every day. And at her young age, being exactly half the age that I am, she's 26 now, and I'm about to be 52. She was brought into my life when I was 25 years old. And I often reflect on what I was thinking about 25, 26-year-old, hanging out with all the family members I have in Beth Yahweh for the last 30 years. And I can tell you that we went through a lot, but nothing as heavy as that. I think the most we really had to worry about at that point is, you know, our children, you know, doing the right thing, making sure that you ain't end up at Shabbat service and, you know, Gershom Bedanu, you had done something to upset Yahweh to the point where you had to get your toes stepped on. I think that was the most we were concerned about at that age. And to know that many of our children at this point in their life are experiencing some real things, it's an eye opener. And then, you know, you reflect and you realize how privileged we were and how much I personally took that time and those experiences for granted. But anyway, you know, a lot of us are going through things with, you know, with our children. But, you know, one of the things that Abba had to remind me of is that he has never been unfaithful. I, at times, have been very unfaithful, but he has never been unfaithful. He has always been, forgive me for my voice. Like I said, it's been a rough couple of days talking to Abba, so my voice might be a little. Okay, we had some real conversations the last couple of days. And like I said, you know, he's always been faithful. I, on the other hand, have had my moments of infidelity, to say the least, with our Heavenly Father. But neither here nor there, family. we have a faith for Elohim. And there are times when it doesn't seem as such, but he is mighty, he is faithful, and he is true to his word. So the first reading today, fam, will be from the book of Psalms, Psalm 42. To the chief musician, Mashkil, for the sons of Korah. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, Elohim. My soul thirsteth for Elohim, for the living Elohim. When shall I come and appear before my mighty one? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy mighty one? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of the mighty one, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in your mighty one, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my Elohim, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet Yahweh will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the mighty one of my life. I will say unto my mighty one, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy mighty one? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in Yahweh, for I shall yet praise him. Who is he? Who is the health of my countenance and my mighty one? Next reading, family, from the book of Deuteronomy, reading chapter 7. And this is what he said to our forefathers. And as we know, our forefathers didn't do what they said they would do in regards to the contract. And it reads, when Yahweh, thy mighty one, shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee. And, you know, last couple of weeks we went through, you know, some of the wondrous things that he had done for our foreparents in their day, and how he strengthened them, not because they had great numbers, but because they were faithful. You know, and again, he only needed a faithful few of those men in order to defeat the enemy. But of course, we know our history. We went astray. But he guaranteed us this, that as long as we were faithful, that as long as we were obedient, that he would always fight on our behalf. So again, and have cast out many nations before thee, still in our Deuteronomy 7:1 family, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when Yahweh, thy Elohim, shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, no sure mercy unto them. So no Civil Rights Act of 1965. None of that stuff, because those are all covenants. Those are all agreements that we made with the enemy that still to this day have come back to haunt us. Tell me one thing that we have benefited from, really, at the end of the day, from the Civil Rights Act of 1965. The architect of that bill, they've benefited, but truth be told, there's only a particular segment of our demographic that has truly been benefiting from the Civil Rights Act of 1965. But it hasn't been us as a whole. But anyway, 7:3. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away the son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. Isn't that what Gideon did? What we read last week in the book of Judges? Deuteronomy 7:6. For thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy Elohim. Yahweh thy Elohim have chosen thee to be a special people. And let's take a look at that word special. I found it to be very interesting, family. And when he says special, and remember what he says about us in the book of Malachi. The word is segula, possession, property, valued property, peculiar treasure. But it can also be translated, Hebrews 5:4-5:9, feminine passive participle of an unused root meaning to shut up, as in wealth, as closely shut up. And when it says closely shut up, when you have something of value, when you have something that you treasure as a jewel, what do? With it? You don't leave it hanging around for somebody to take it. In all actuality, if you have the means, you find a place to secure it, as in a safe, as in a chest, you tuck it away. So this is what Israel is. The Israel of Yah is to him. We are jewelry to him, but not in the sense of how we as a people tend to like to floss our ice and wear all these big fancy gold chains and all this stuff around our wrists and on our fingers and looking all gaudy. That's not who our Heavenly Father is. Sure, there are times he puts it on, but for the most part, we're hidden. And see, a lot of times I know as a congregation, we want to be out there in the front. We want to be, but remember what happened with Eliah, when he was on the run, and he said, I'm the only one. I'm the only prophet out here. He said, man, please. This is what Yahweh's response to him was. I got 7,000 prophets that I've got hidden somewhere that have not bowed the knee to bow. So it ain't always about being on Front Street. Sometimes when you're a treasure, you are a real treasure. Not a fake treasure, not a hip-hop treasure. We ain't the God of hip-hop that got to be gaudy and out there. And we don't have a God like that. We got a God who has something more valuable than even the hope diamond itself. That he keeps guarded day and night. That's the type of precious jewels we are supposed to be. We're not a bunch of gold fronts. We're not a dookie gold chain. We ain't no door knockers on the air. We ain't putting up our fists in a hip-hop video showing what we got on our wrist. That's not who we are. That's not who we are called to be, the Israel of Yah. Now, granted, there are plenty others out there that can be that Fogazi, that can be all that cubic zirconia type Jew if they want to be, because that's what it is. But his real treasures, what he say about them? And he says, one of the translations of this word is, let me go back to it. If you want to look in the Brown Driver Briggs, it's 5:4-5:9, segula. And the BDB definition says possession, property, valued property, peculiar treasure. Or just straight up a treasure. And think about any time you see a treasure in a movie, it's usually locked away in a chest. Like in Pirates of the Caribbean, all that gold doubloon they were looking for, it was locked away in a chest. Because what happens when all the gold doubloon spills out, it causes people to get greedy. Makes me think about Sister Jill Scott's song, Living My Life Like It's Golden, Living My Life Like It's Golden. We have to understand we are golden. We are diamonds, sapphires, rubies, onyx stones. All those beautiful things that you see in the ephod. Did the high priest put on the ephod always? No. Did he put on the bonnet with Kadesh LaYahweh always? No. There were only particular times that he did that. While I watch these brothers wearing their quote-unquote holy garb out on the street all day long, every day, that ain't it. It looks real good sometimes, but at the end of the day, that's not it. As Eddie Murphy said, that's not it. It's about being special. It's about being a treasure. It's about being golden in his eyes. But if you want to be out there and you want to be that Fugazi, if you want to be that type of jewelry, fine, by all means, be that. But a real treasure to Yahweh, is tucked away. It's hidden. 7:7. Yahweh did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, but ye were the fewest of the people. See? Yahweh likes special things. Our God ain't the Walmart God. He's not even the Target God. He's not even Macy's or Saks Fifth Avenue. He ain't that type of God. The God he is you got some people, you got some boutiques out there that are so exclusive, you must make an appointment to go to that boutique. You must make a special appointment in order to get, let's say if it's a haberdashery, to get fitted for that shirt, that suit, those shoes. You know, there are people that still do that, still create custom-made things. Perfumes, dresses, hats, cologne. He ain't a retail god, y'all. He's a specialty type store god. An exclusive, not mean that he is not accessible to anyone. The scriptures say, for Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But then once you come into that special relationship, then you become special. You become a treasure to him. And you ain't supposed to be the run of the mill. And the message has been for the last week, just needs a few. He don't need a whole lot. 30,000 came to the battle, but he said, I only need 300. So it ain't about the grand numbers. It ain't about the fanfare. It's about a special invitation. And I believe there was a parable that he said that he sent out an invitation to the wedding feast. It ain't for everybody. As Zacchaeus used to say, it ain't for everybody. It's for a chosen few. And we have to start accepting and living in that reality. It's for a chosen few. It ain't about the 30,000. It's about the 300 that he can show forth his strength through. And again, 7:7, Deuteronomy 7. Yahweh did not choose, set his love upon you. And I like that. He did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all the people. But because Yahweh loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, therefore, that Yahweh, thy Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful Elohim, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. starting with the chief opponent all the way on down. He's going to do it. Thou shalt therefore, 7-11, 7-11, thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that Yahweh thy Elohim shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And Yahweh will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people, which Yahweh thy Elohim shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shall thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. And when you look up that word snare in the Hebrew, as a matter of fact, let's take a look at it. It caught my eye. And the word there for snares, Hebrew 41:70. And it literally means from 3369. It's the word is mokesh. 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 From 3369, a noose for catching animals, literally or figuratively. By implication, a hook for the nose, be ensnared. Trapped. Think about what has happened to our foreparents and what we have inherited from the era of our foreparents all the way back to Adam and Eve. We hope y'all been listening to the adoption. You know, if y'all could find time to binge watch these specials, y'all can find time. They're about the same length. Some of them are actually shorter than a lot of these shows that we get caught up in. Most, the average show is 30 to 45 minutes. To be honest, I don't think I've seen one video on Rabbi's channel that went beyond 30 minutes at this point. So it's not like it's a grievous, it's going to take much time out of your day. And the truth be told, how YouTube works now, you don't even have to watch it. You can listen to it. Trust me, I know. My brother does that all the time. Pop your headpiece in your ear and listen to it. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what Yahweh thy Elohim did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. What did he do? He executed judgment against Pharaoh, Egypt, and all their gods. And if you've been paying attention, if you've been listening to the adoption, that great beast, which we are still struggling with today, Pharaoh and Egypt are his representatives. And it's no coincidence that that is still the battle unto this day. When you think about it, we're still battling against that great beast, the Egyptologists, and also this Babylonian system. They're all still our enemies. The enemy hasn't changed. Not in its essence, not in who it is. The enemy hasn't changed. We're still fighting against two nations, two manners of people. One is Esau, one is Jacob. One is Edom, one is Israel. There's only two people. There's only two manner of people in this world. You're either with Yahweh entirely, or you're against him. I hate to put it in absolutes because then now in Star Wars terms, you become a Sith Lord. But that's the truth. if you're not with Yahweh, as in 10 toes in up to your ankles and your knees, you're against him. He said, you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. So I spew you. He don't want no lukewarm people. He don't want no jewelry. He's the king of the universe. He want real jewelry. And not the gaudy type neither. He wants that elegant type. Seven 18. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what Yahweh thy Elohim did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby Yahweh thy Elohim brought thee out. So shall Yahweh thy Elohim do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, Yahweh thy Elohim will send a hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for Yahweh thy Elohim is among you, a mighty, mighty one, and terrible to the enemy. And Yahweh thy Elohim will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But Yahweh thy Elohim shall deliver them unto thee and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou hast destroyed them. The graven images of their mighty ones shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to Yahweh. He said, don't take their silver and gold. And it ain't that it's different silver and gold. Silver is silver and gold is gold. But you know what's different about it? What it was dedicated to. And Yahweh don't even want us tainted with that. He wants us to be pure because he don't ever want that silver or that gold because he got plenty of it. Plenty of it throughout the earth that he can get more. He don't want it once it's been touched and tainted by the opponent or any of those that work with him. So don't even take their silver gold. I got plenty of that for y'all when y'all need it. Plenty. 7:26. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be cursed, be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Are we guilty of any of that? Let's check our houses. Let's get our houses in order as we got the dates. We'll put out the proposed dates, the possible dates for the next holy season. Let's start checking these things. And not your physical house, as in your home, the walls, the brick and the mortar, but check that temple, that spiritual house that we have in. Go through that with a fine-tooth comb. Go through that with some light. Look under the table of your heart. Look behind the couch of your mind. Look behind what's in the cupboards of your thinking. What are you housing in your mind? What are you housing in your heart? That's the stuff we need to check. Granted, you could go around with the feather and spoon and that flash and that candle all day long. And you could find every little crumb, every little cracker or whatever in your physical house. But if you ain't searching your spiritual house, if you ain't searching your soul, your mind, your thinking, your thoughts, your attitudes towards your Heavenly Father, your attitudes towards your brothers and sisters, if it's hard for you to even deliver a shalom to a brother and sister when you see them, regardless of where you are, your circumstances, check yourself. If you don't have shalom in you, you can't give it. It's as simple as that. So ask, why don't I have shalom or a sister when I encounter them? Because if you have any issue with a brother or sister and you don't resolve it before the sun sets, you're in error. You're out of the will. And until at some point you make peace, the warrior king said this. He said, seek shalom and pursue it. He wants you to hunt for that peace. Every day as a believer, we should be on the hunt for shalom. That's what the psalmist said. Seek peace and pursue it. Every day you don't rectify what's going on with you, whatever art you have with a brother or a sister, a family member, wife, husband, cousin, especially if they're a believer, that's a day and an opportunity lost. And the God we serve is a God about the here and now. He said, this day is what you have. This is the day that Yahweh has made. Let us rejoice in, because you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the next holy day. You're not promised to make it to Yom Kippur so we could beat on our chest and say, forgive me, or ask, forgive me. It ain't just about doing it on Yom Kippur and the rest of the 364 days and 23 hours and 59 minutes, we just forget about it. It ain't just supposed to take place during that season. If you got any art or any issue with anybody, especially if they're of the house of Yahweh, you're supposed to rectify that day. Or as soon as possible. Courage to say what's on your heart. Have the courage to say what's on your mind. Don't just talk about it, be about it. Away. If you really love Yahweh, it ain't about having love for your brother. It's about making that relationship with Yahweh right. And yes, the word that says, how can you love God who you see, but you don't love your brother who you see every day. Yahweh's letting you know it's one and the same. You can't love me and not love your brother. You can't love your brother and not love me. Psalms 105, and this will be the last reading for the day, family. So I'm going to spend some time reflecting until it's time for me to teach again. Psalms 105 reads, oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yahweh. Seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he had done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is Yahweh your Elohim. His judgments are on all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. And confirm the same unto Jacob for a Torah, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. until the time that his word came. The word of Yahweh tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Yisrael also came into Egypt, and Yaakov sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moshe his servant and Aharon, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs and among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood, and he slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came diverse sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came, and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in the land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also the firstborn in their land and the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribe. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. And I had to chuckle there because they want them Hebrews out there bad. Just like now. They want these Hebrews out the United States so bad. But what are they going to do without them? What are they going to do without these Hebrews? Remember at one point, Marcus Garvey had what was called the BTAM, the Back to Africa Movement. And he was serious about it. Marcus Garvey had ships in abundance. He was a millionaire in his day, and he was ready to take every one of the blacks in America and in the Caribbean, in the Americas, back to the motherland. And you would think they would have rejoiced at that. You would have thought they would have done the same thing that Egypt did. Here, take this. Go. Y'all get up out of here. They said, no way. Who going to do all the work? Because we ain't built like that. We ain't built to do this kind of work. We ain't built to be floor techs. We ain't built to be cleaning toilets. We ain't built to be flipping burgers. We ain't built to be making waffles. That ain't our calling. That ain't our ministry. Sure, we can make the business for the waffles. We can make the business for the burgers. We can make the business for the floor techs. But doggone it, we ain't the ones that's going to be out there working like that, because that's just not what we are here to do. So you would have thought they would have said, hey, you know what? Instead of paying y'all reparations, we'll give y'all a one-way ticket back to the motherland. They said, oh, no. Before we do that, we'll crush that movement. But anyway. Ten, 105:38. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran into the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Hallelujah. And that's it, family, for right now. Yahweh willing, I will see y'all in a couple of hours. Again, I'm going to spend some time with Op because I need it on this Shabbat day. And hopefully you all, if you haven't done so, will do the same. To the mighty Elohim, our souls say hallelujah. To the everlasting Father, our souls say hallelujah. To the judge of the widow, our souls say hallelujah. Let the redeemed of Yahushua say so. Hallelujah. For Yahweh inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for this day. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one. And trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. You are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Baruch atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Toda Abiyah for the blessing of life this day. Toda Abiyah for health and strength. Toda Abiyah for soundness of mind. And Father, we also thank you for the challenging times. We also thank you, Father, for the struggles. We also thank you, Father, for the things, Father, that you have set before us, Father, that make us cry out to you, Father, that make us lift up our hands to you, Father, that ask you, Father, that when we are weak, Father, to be strong for us, to ask you, Father, when we need help, Father, that you become our helper. Let us not forget to run to you, Father, in our distress when we cry out to you. Thank you for forgiving us for our sins. Thank you for your son, Yahushua. Thank you for your Torah. Thank you for all the prophets. And thank you for all the brothers and sisters that put in the work, Father, to help edify your people and to help keep your people in the way. We ask these things in the precious name of our Master, our King, our Redeemer, our Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Shalom, family.
Sit back and these days, remember my ways. Oh, me like it out of my cage. Yes, I am a slave, searching for some freedom, searching for some freedom, so I'm tender.